You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So around, you know, up to 8,000 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
UNICEF and the Global Coalition for Youth Mental Health have launched an open letter calling for greater investment and action on child and youth mental health globally, urging a coordinated multi-sectoral response of at least $200 billion. The letter has been signed by over 40 businesses and organizations, including Jo Malone London, Pinterest, Lululemon, and Spotify. I spoke with UNICEF Aotearoa's communications director, Tanya Sawicki-Mead, about the letter and why mental health support needs more funding. I began the interview asking her what the key demands of the letter were.
So the letter is really calling on governments and leaders across all sectors, including business, to work together to make sure that we meet the growing needs of young people when it comes to, you know, equitable and high-quality mental health services and supports. And the reason for that is there's an enormous global gap between what the need is and the resources that are available to meet that need. So the coalition is calling on everyone to work together to make sure that there are the resources and the supports and the collaboration that we need to get that support for young people.
To add on to what you're saying there, could you tell me a bit more about why we need increased funding globally for mental health, specifically youth mental health?
Yeah, so we need funding for youth mental health because children and young people have high needs that aren't being met at the moment. And there are a variety of reasons for that, but there are a lot of contextual factors that are increasing the distress and challenges that children and young people are facing. We know some of those include the impact of climate change and ecological crisis, a number of economic and social issues that put pressure on children and young people, particularly children and young people who already face disadvantage and barriers, and the fact that just the investment historically and currently has just been too low. So there's been a gap for a long time and the need is increasing. We also find that there's not really enough sufficient funding and resource for that really critical evidence and research that we need to understand what kinds of supports work for children and young people, and particularly what kinds work for different groups who have different needs.
And this letter has been signed by more than 40 businesses and organisations. What is the significance of having this support?
Well, we think it's really important that businesses in the private sector are kind of recognising and stepping up their role in helping to address this funding gap. One of the signatories, of course, is Les Mills, which is a New Zealand-based company and a partner of UNICEF Aotearoa. And we think it's really important that those companies recognise that collectively the private sector has the resources, some of the resources that we need as a community, as a global community, but also here in Aotearoa, to meet that funding gap. They also have a role to play in terms of their role as leaders in their own organisations and people who have a lot of ability to influence the mental health and support the mental health and well-being of their employees, particularly young people and children and caregivers. So it's really vital that we see everyone pulling together for what we call a multi-sectoral approach. So basically everyone getting on board to make sure that children and young people have the best possible life that they can, which at the moment, you know, really calls for greater investment in quality and equitable mental health services.
Why is it, do you think, that many countries allocate relatively small budgets towards addressing mental health support?
It's a really good question. I think that historically it's just been a low priority comparatively to physical health and to the many pressing challenges that, you know, particularly lower income countries face when it comes to meeting the needs of their population. I think that obviously in recent years, I think we've seen a growing awareness and recognition of the importance of mental health to our overall well-being, particularly the well-being of children in the longer term. And so the funding just kind of hasn't kept up to some extent with the recognition of how important mental health is for our well-being as a community. But also there are a lot of competing challenges, and we see that particularly at UNICEF in the countries which face many other substantial resource challenges, the people where they are struggling to meet their community's needs when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to education, when it comes to a whole bunch of other things that children, young people and their caregivers need. So it's just fallen down the priority list in many places. And we really urging, you know, communities, business leaders and governments to step up and work together to meet that gap, because when you invest in children and children's well-being and their mental health, you see the long-term impacts in a really substantial way. That's why it's so important that the services and supports that we have are appropriate for children, you know, are tailored for children, and particularly are tailored for children who have different needs. So, for example, here that might mean really appropriate, culturally appropriate, and well-resourced supports that are by Māori, for Māori, for tamariki Māori.
What is the situation like in Aotearoa, New Zealand? Do you believe we are adequately addressing mental health?
No, I think we can safely say that there is still a huge gap when it comes to children, young people having their needs met when it comes to mental health services and supports, but also when we see the wider wellbeing challenges for children and young people and the way in which we need governments and communities to work together and take action to address those drivers or those underlying causes of mental distress and poor wellbeing. We have seen obviously increased investment in child and youth mental health in recent years, and that's going in the right direction. It's preferable that we see more rather than less, but the need is still great, and the need is particularly great for services that I, as I mentioned, are by Māori for Māori, community-based services, services that are innovative, that are grounded in what communities want and need, and that kind of are embedded in the communities that tamariki Māori and other children live in. So there is still very much a gap there.
And just lastly, what is action on this open letter to increase funding dependent on?
Well, we need people to pay attention in the first instance, so we really encourage people to read the open letter and I guess engage with what their role might be, whether that's as a business or as political leaders. So I think there are multiple opportunities for people to engage with the calls to action from this letter, whether it be to think about what as a collective we might be able to do to increase that funding, and whether it might be action that that businesses or organisations take in their own workplaces or in their own communities, but also to understand that this is a global problem and you know, we can coordinate and collaborate with our partners across the world to help give greater urgency to meeting that funding gap. But we'd really love to see businesses and communities in Aotearoa, I guess, come together to think about what can people with those resources do to make sure that they are investing in our tamariki, in our children, so that they have the best possible chance at life. And that's what we'd really love to see.
That was UNICEF Aotearoa's Tanya Sawicki-Mead speaking to me about an open letter calling for more funding to tackle the mental health funding gap.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.